Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gova Govinda Shama Kanda Radha Kanda Giri Gopi Dhanki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dhanki Jai Navadip Dhanki Jai Gangsamana Tulsi Bhakti Giri Ki Jai Nanda Gauri Vaisarva Vrindi Ki Jai Samadatta Bhakti Vrindi Ki Jai Gopremanandi All glories to Samadha Bodhis All glories to Samadha Bodhis All glories to Samadha Bodhis All glories to Sri Guru Sri Guru and all glories to Sri Guru Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Vishnu
Padaya Krishna Prasthapatale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanande. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasmatadesha Sadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Devi Dada Krishna Gaurakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare We from Srimad Bhagavatam Kapha 7 chapter 5 verse 52 Dharma Martam Cha Kamam Cha
Dharma Martam Cha Kamam Cha
Nitaram Anupovasaha Praradaya Chattu Rajam Prasvetaha Tanataya
about mundane religion, economic development, sense gratification. Therefore, there are four processes for human society: artha, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, and they culminate in liberation. Human society must follow a process of religion to advance. On the basis of religion, one to try to develop his economic conditions so he can fulfill his needs for sense gratification according to the religious rules and regulations. Then liberation from material bonds will be easier to attain. That is the Vedic process. When one is above the stages of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, one becomes a devotee. He is then on the platform from which he is guaranteed not to fall again into material existence. As advised in Bhagavad Gita, if one transcends these four processes and is actually liberated when engaged in devotional service, then he is guaranteed not to fall to material existence again. Translation thereafter, Shunda and Amarka systematic and unceasingly taught Prahlad Maharaj, who was very submissive and humble about mundane religion, economic development, and sex gratification. So here we see that the teachers began again teaching Prahlad. Previously they taught him, and Prahlad rejected those teachings and he taught everyone to worship Vishnu. So now, out of desperation, they're trying again since they couldn't kill him. So, what are the subject matter here? Dharma, artha, kama. Now these are familiar, but one thing is missing here. The moksha is missing. Because Hiranyakasipu doesn't want anyone to become detached from the material world and renounce the world. He's against that. Of course, that is part of the system, and without it, something is missing. In other words, the other processes, artha, dharma, and kama, are meant to lead to moksha. If that is missing, then that varnashram system is not perfect. So we will see that many aspects lead one towards renunciation and detachment. For instance, we have different varnas. We have shudras who are in ignorance, vaishyas who are in ignorance and passion, we have kshatriyas who are in passion and sattva, and then we have brahmins in sattva mode who have sense control and detachment. So it leads from great attachment in tamaguna to detachment in sattva guna. And then we have the ashramas. So we have brahmacharya ashram and grihastha ashram and vanaprastha and sannyas. So those in the lower modes obviously cannot renounce. So they're advised simply to become grihastha. That's only one ashram. Those who are little detached can participate in other ashrams. So therefore we have brahmacharya ashram. This is the detachment ashram in which one learns simplicity, living without luxuries, etc., learning scriptures and Vedas, etc. So it's basically spiritual with a sense of renunciation. And we have vanaprastha. Again, this is renunciation mode. Give up the house and the children and go to the forest and do austerities to become detached from household life. And then finally we have sannyas, giving up everything for the Supreme Lord. So, and the goal of society is finally to reach this level of rejecting everything in the material world, and one is qualified for liberation or moksha. So, if we omit the moksha, then we're basically cutting out the vanaprastha sannyas and brahmacharya ashrams. So no ashram is a grihastha ashram. Artha, dharma, kama, and only ashram is for grihasthas. So this is an imperfect system because it simply encourages one to materialism. But just on that grounds, this teaching is imperfect. Now there's another way in which it's imperfect, and that is that it looks rather okay because we have dharma, artha, and kama. Okay, for people who can renounce, they should have kama and artha. Yeah? And then there's some dharma. Dharma is the rules and regulations. So there's some restrictions on it. And so then say, oh, very nice, dharma means they're religious and pious and whatever. But that's just an appearance here, because ultimately this dharma excludes real religion, worship of the Supreme Lord. Because Hiranyakasipu does not recognize Vishnu as supreme. So therefore, this dharma will maybe include worship of devatas, etc. But then what is the purpose of that worship? It is simply to get material things from them. So in other words, this dharma is so-called religion, some type of worship in order to get material results for enjoyment. So no idea of higher spiritual goals at all. It is only rules and regulations in order to get your artha, and your kama. So therefore it is a very materialistic system. So the dharma that will be followed here will be some sort of renunciation. Just as everybody that works in material society renounces in one sense. But Prabhupada says, yes, people have chaga or renunciation because they have to do a lot of things they don't want to do in order to get money. So they will work 9, 10, 11, 12 hours a day, 13 hours a day, 14 hours a day. That's renunciation because they can't enjoy it. So they do chaga or renunciation in order to get the money as a final result. So they will restrict themselves to some degree and follow some sort of rules and regulations. So to that extent, they will follow dharma. So that they will get their end result of artha and kama. So therefore we see this is not actually any type of voluntary dharma in which one worships the Supreme Lord out of affection or anything. No. It is simply rules and regulations and then obligatory worship of devatas or whatever to get material things. That's all. Therefore, this system is not real dharma at all. It may look like it's some sort of religious system, but actually it is not. So the real dharma is part of the system of Varnashram, in which there are rules and regulations and worship of devatas, etc. But there's also recognition of the Supreme Lord. And there's also the goal of renouncing all this material enjoyment as not being the ultimate goal. And that is definitely not here in this system where moksha is completely excluded. And worship of the Supreme Lord is excluded. One cannot get moksha without worship of the Lord. So therefore, this system here that is taught by the sons of Supracharya is very imperfect. So they tried to teach Prahlad this system. Prahlad, on the other hand, had a completely different outlook. So his outlook was the most important thing of life is not artha, dhamma, kama, but and not even moksha, but worship of the Supreme Lord, which means bhakti. So the goal of life is to take to the worship of the Supreme Lord, and that's the most important thing. He does not exclude practice of these other things, but nevertheless, one must practice bhakti. So in one sense, it is not an extreme proposition that Prahlad is making, and therefore why should his father oppose it so much? He's not saying you have to give up everything in artha, dhamma, kama. At the same time, he says you must worship the Supreme Lord principally. So we see that Prahlad also later became the king, and he was also instituting artha, dhamma, kama, moksha, etc. Along with his practice of devotion. So these processes are not necessarily contrary to worship of the Lord. They can act as supports. They can act favorably for bhakti also. So that is the best position if one is to accept this system, Artha Dharma Kama Moksha. It should be done in conjunction with bhakti and made favorable to bhakti. Then it's acceptable. Those parts of this system which are contrary to bhakti should be rejected. So therefore, Artha Dharma Kama is there. So definitely the kama has to be very restricted. And artha has to be restricted to some degree. And dharma has to be instituted. But worship of devatas or attachment to devata worship has to be rejected in favor of worship of the Supreme Lord. So with that provision, therefore, that system can go on. On the other hand, even if one doesn't do this, one should take to the process of bhakti. So in other words, the bhakti can exist without this also. If it is not possible to practice Artha Dharma Kama Moksha, etc., then you can just do bhakti. And therefore, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Parijaja, give up all dharmas. So what he means is lower dharmas. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, Artha Dharma Kama Moksha. Give up all of that and simply surrender unto me. So what this means is the essential process is bhakti, everything else is secondary, may or may not do, but you must do bhakti. So therefore, Prahlada in his teachings to his students, he said, yes, now that you've become a human, which is very rare, you must take to the process of the worship of the Supreme Lord. And all of this is secondary. So that is the ultimate teaching. So Prahlada's teachings are actually quite different from those of Hiranyakasipu and these teachers. However, at the same time, he does not reject the social system with Artha Dharma Kama Moksha, etc., but as a support to worship of the Lord, to Bhakti Yoga. So Prahlad here is described as Prasrita Avanata, which means he was very submissive by nature. But it does not mean that he accepted these teachings. Out of convention, let them teach, okay? So he didn't object. At the same time, it doesn't mean he accepted what they said. Why? Because he was fixed in his taste for the Supreme Lord. And that was already proven by the fact that, in spite of all of the threats of his father and all the punishments and tortures and everything, he never gave up remembrance of the Supreme Lord, Smarana. Yeah? So because he had that higher taste, therefore, he could not be in any way persuaded. So what to speak of the teachers trying to give him some teachings? And obviously, they cannot affect him in any way. Nevertheless, Prahlad, as a devotee, remained in a very humble mood. And he did not insult his teachers or reject them or curse them or whatever like that. Simply, whatever they try to do, they can do. But it doesn't mean that he had to accept those and become convinced by them. So therefore, he maintained his conduct as a devotee, and at the same time, he was not influenced by these demons and their philosophy. So this, of course, is a difficult situation for many people because all around him was asatsanga, bad association. And normally we say a devotee should have satsanga for devotional development. So here he was constantly in the association of asat people, the demons who are out for sense enjoyment, trying to convince him that he should take to material life. So it was an unfavorable situation, definitely. Yet, because he was fixed in his devotion and very advanced because of mercy of Narada Muni, therefore, like the Lord, that was said previously, like the Lord, so the devotee also cannot be affected. So the Lord cannot be affected by the weapons that the demons use to try to kill him, because they're all material things and ultimately under the control of the Lord. So similarly, the devotee of the Lord also unaffected by anything in the material world. So the Lord comes in the material world, the gunas of matter cannot affect him. He is completely unbewildered by material nature. And because Prahlada is a devotee, same. He's in the material world, nothing can affect him. So this shows his very high advancement. Ordinary jivas in the material world are completely overcome by matter, like Hiranyakasipu and his followers. As the normal jiva is, Bandha, he is completely covered. Those who begin the bhakti are, in one sense, not covered, but they may have to struggle because they're not completely fixed in their devotion to the Lord. So sometimes they make mistakes, etc. And therefore, if they have bad association, they may deviate. If they have good association, they can develop. So Prahlad here is in a situation where he was constantly in association with the Asat people, but never deviated. So this shows his very, very great advancement, how fixed he was. And what was the cause? Mercy of the great devotee of the Lord. So due to mercy of a great devotee, then, one can advance very quickly. And though Prahlad was a young person, a boy actually, still, he had advanced spiritually to a very, very high level, such that even the Supreme Lord made his appearance before him. So, therefore, he was an exalted devotee. And all of this asat influence, or attempts to influence him, had no effect on him. He was like the example of the Lord also is compared to a lotus in the water. So the lotus comes out of the water, and the lotus, you pour water on it, all the water runs off. And the lotus comes out of the mud, but it's not dirty, it's pure. So similarly, the devotee of the Lord has that same quality when he's fixed in his devotion to the Lord. He's completely unaffected by anything in the material world. We'll see that even Krishna in battle, he flees the battle from Jarasandha or whatever, and he has many things like this. It may seem like the Lord is injured or frightened or whatever, but that's only part of the Lord's lila. He can never be harmed in any way because his body is not material. Even the jiva, the atma, cannot be cut, cannot be burned, cannot be drowned, cannot be dried up. No element can affect the Atma. What to speak of the Supreme Lord? So therefore, the Supreme Lord cannot be injured by any weapon at all. Since even the Atma, the Jiva, cannot be affected. Rejects cheating dharma. Kaitava dharma is completely rejected and the essence is given. So, of course, because then why don't we just have Krishna, nothing else in the Bhagavatam? Only 10th canto, nothing else. Why do we have first, second, third, fourth canto of avatars, discussion and all, because actually it's about Krishna, ultimately. So, yes, the Bhagavatam ultimately rejects all of these other cheating dharmas. Cheating dharmas would say that it doesn't reject Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, Astanga Yoga as such. But when they're presented as the ultimate, then it is cheating dharma. So, just as Bhagavad Gita presents Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, Astanga Yoga, it says, okay, Sarva Dharma Parijaja, it rejects it all in one sense because essence is bhakti. So, Bhagavatam is like that. It presents very clearly what the highest goal is. And at the beginning of the book, first canto, definitely we understand what it is. End of the book also, and throughout. So there's no unclarity there. But yet we'll see. Just like Bhagavad Gita presents Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, Sangha Yoga, so we'll find in Bhagavatam also. Well, Karma Yoga, Prahlad will go through a whole discussion of Varnashram system. Then Krishna himself, 11th canto, will also go through a whole discussion like this. Kapila will discuss Astanga Yoga and Jnana in great detail in 3rd canto. And Krishna to Uddhava again in 11th canto will go to Jnana and Yoga again and just talk about Siddhis and so many other things there. So, why? Because he doesn't reject the Vedas, and the Vedas presents all of this. But we have to understand their proper place. So it is made very clear in the Bhagavatam that these are not ultimate processes. Yeah? So you can go to Karma Yoga as Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in chapter 3, Arjuna, you're not qualified for Jnana, do Karma Yoga. But it's not an ultimate instruction. It's for a person who cannot do anything else than start at the bottom and do Karma Yoga. Yeah? Well, the more advanced to do Jnana Yoga or Astanga Yoga. Then finally they should come to Bhakti Yoga. But not necessary. You can just do bhakti yoga also. And that's preferable. So that exactly is what Bhagavatam also presents. It will present these other processes and everything else. But ultimately, it is very clear what the goal is. So one reason, therefore, for including these things is because it does not reject the Vedas. It should have similarity. It should present what the Vedas present. Bhagavatam is said to be essence of the Vedas, essence of the Brahma Sutras, essence of all the other Puranas and Mahabharata, everything. It's the essence of everything. So it can't just ignore everything. But it has to show what the conclusion is. So it's the essence because it presents very clearly what the final conclusion of all that is. It presents all the methods clearly, without any contradiction from the Shruti, and it also presents the conclusion of that. So that is misfortune that is there for anyone. So therefore, we have to accept the teachings through a proper devotee of the Lord in a sampradaya. We just concoct our own version, then definitely we'll make a mistake. Of course, we can say, well, why doesn't Krishna make it easier? This is the final conclusion. As I said, there are reasons for this. We have to have some connection with the Vedas. Therefore, we can't omit parts of the Vedas and say, oh, that's not there. It presents it, but it shows the things. So one has to have a little intelligence. One needs some qualification for studying Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. And one has to accept guru, devotees, teachings from others, sampradaya, etc. Otherwise, one can go astray. And that's there for any type of knowledge, whether it is chemistry or medicine or anything. You can get very confused if you read all the books, and you can attack the books and say, why are they saying like this? But you have to get a proper teacher to tell you what's the important part of it and you know how to proceed properly. No, because dharma is rules and regulations to regulate the material body, etc. In order you can get your artha and kama.
Here, Bhagavatam is saying that the dharma swanishita purusha vishrakshana katashaya, that sloka. That dharma is...
The essence of dharma ultimately should be bhakti. But if it isn't, then it's completely useless. If dharma means bhakti, fine. Give up all dharmas and practice bhakti, the supreme dharma. But usually we talk of dharma as you know, following Varnashram system. Which is not exactly bhakti, because working as a carpenter or working as a brahmana is not bhakti itself. Worship of the Lord is bhakti.
That is what Krishna says, that
yes, so give up all these other systems. Don't think of them as ultimate systems.
Ultimately, bhakti is hearing Bhagavad Katha.
Yeah, hearing about the Lord, chanting His name, worshipping the Lord. That's bhakti. But Varnashram means something else. Bhakti means, you know, you do your duties as a Brahmin or a Kshatriya and whatever. You follow your ashram duties, etc. So included in that is worship of the Lord, but that's one of many factors there.
But different bhaktis are there. Someone is having bhakti on demigod, someone is having bhakti in parents, and someone is having bhakti on...
Well, we don't call that bhakti in our terms. If you want to call that, you call it devotion to parents or devotion to devatas or whatever, but we're not calling it, when we say bhakti, we mean worship the Supreme Lord. All the other bhaktis are part of this material dharma. Well, we should understand it, doesn't mean we have to become attached to it. We should understand its position. We should understand its inferior. In other words, we can understand the nature of karma yoga as opposed to jnana or bhakti, but we should not become attached to it. And you can also practice this. You can practice karma yoga, it's not a problem, but don't become attached to it. Don't think it is ultimate. And don't do anything in it that's contradictory to bhakti. That's all.
ఎక్కడికి వెళ్తావు?